Time Radio, all sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and well, we were one for one with the music. Can we go two for two?
All right.
Start spreading the news.
There we go. We got both of the musics to work, and that, of course, means Schomburg Stu is there.
No technical snafus today.
Well, it's early. We are just getting going, but if you'd like to call into the podcast, give us a call. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but you can find me out there at Burke Time. And as always, I will forward any question you have for Stu to Stu. So go ahead and send us a question. So there you go. We are we are off and running.
And I got a big sports bulletin now to start up a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zagunas just went yard and tied the game 5-5.
Well, there you go. Look at that. Yeah, I didn't actually realize the game was on WGN. I clicked on the MLB Network, and they had Cubs Sox, so I left it on while the commercials were running, and they went to something else, and I said, oh, the game must be on the local channel because they're not showing it here. So by the time I hunted it down, I only got to see a couple at bats, so I haven't seen a ton of the game.
Yeah, well, it's almost time, huh? A week from next Thursday, opening day, for most of the teams anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, technically, you know, according to Major League Baseball, the season starts in 5 days. But as we all know, that's a crock, and that it really shouldn't count as anything because, face it, they're just exhibition games. So, exhibition games
yeah.
That's counting the standings. So, there you are.
You know, to me, it doesn't seem fair to either of those two teams that are starting the season that way.
No, well, you know, I believe they're, you know, allowed to carry extra guys and stuff. So the weird part is while these games count in the standings, they're really just spring training games.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess to be fair, I hope they kind of split it 1-1 so no team really has an advantage. But it just seems kind of stupid to me that you're going to go and, you know, travel all the way to Japan and then you're going to come back and you've got to go through, you know, multiple days of spring training still. I don't understand how you kind of shut it down from game, you know, actual gameplay to spring training and then back the gameplay within, you know, less than a week.
Yeah, not to mention that jet lag they're going to get, and that I'm sure there's a multiple hour time limit, the time gap between here and Japan. I know in Australia, for example, it's a 15-hour difference. They're 15 hours ahead of us in Australia. I'm not sure about Japan.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, all that wonderful with all that fun stuff, so I don't know who's where or what day it is in what country. I'm lucky I can realize the time and date where I'm at as it is. So, you know, I'll just let everybody else figure that out.
I hope you fix all your clocks.
Yes. Well, luckily I don't have to anymore. Everything's automatic now.
Well, the only thing that's automatic for me are my phones and my cable box. Everything else I have to do myself.
Yeah, my car sets automatically, and
wow.
You know, my phone and tablet and all that stuff do it. You know, computers, all that stuff does it on their own now.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I
the
just
computer
get
the, does it, right.
Yeah.
Talking about your, do you have any alarm clocks? And what about alarm clocks and all your clocks in the house?
So the only clock we had to set was the oven, the clock on the oven.
Oh, yeah, I had to set mine, too. It's always easier to set them in the spring, though, isn't it? It's easier to go ahead than going back one.
Yeah, you know, even though you lose that hour, you know, of sleep or however you look at it, it's just the fact that you're hoping the weather is going to get better, where, you know, when you're setting it back, it's like, oh, yeah, here we go. It's going to be wintertime. So.
Well, it wasn't very pleasant today for most of the day, that's for sure.
No, you know, but at least, you know, they had forecasted snow, and I didn't get any here, so I'm very happy about that. I hope we're done with that for the year.
Right, and what exciting things are going on in the world of sport that we can talk about? I know you always have a little itinerary set up and questions and important things going on in the world of sport, although I can't think of anything super important in the Chicago area.
No, well, you know, the big thing right now that I don't believe any of us are you know, huge fans of course, is March Madness. You know, they have all the conferences, you know, conference tournaments going on, and then the selection is Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know about you. I just don't enjoy the game and the college game anymore, or the pro game, but we know about that.
Right, and well, of course, March Madness is a tradition, and I'm sure summer games will be very exciting. And I still, being a traditionalist, wonder why they had to have that conference championship tacked onto the season. I mean, what's the point of winning a Big Ten title and then going around and having to play again in a conference tournament afterwards?
Well, you know why that is. It's money.
That's the name of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all any of these tournaments ever are. You know, I mean, it's like college football and the bowl games. In reality, only a couple of them mean anything, but there's 30, like five of them, because it fills the cash register, and you know, that's how it goes. I mean, you look at the Big Ten tournament, which is played in played in Indianapolis now every year, that giant stadium there that they sell out for, what, 3-4 days in a row with, you know, 60,000-80,000 people in it. And, you know, imagine what the conference is bringing in from those crowds.
Yeah, tremendous revenue gains in a huge facility like that. And sure, in football, by the way, a lot of the secondary colleges reap a nice payday, too, when they play in those obscure bowl games.
Yeah, I don't know what the basketball teams get for, you know, tournament-wise, if you're awarded anything. I mean, obviously they get a split of the gate. I'm sure that's, you know, broken up for them, which is probably, you know, probably good enough for some of the teams. But, you know, you wonder if, you know, the winners get more or how that works out.
Yeah, I haven't studied enough of the current crop of teams that are going to be playing in the March Madness to know if there's any sleeper team, Cinderella team, that's going to give some of the bigger names any kind of competition this season.
Yeah, you know, there always seems to be that, you know, one team that kind of sneaks through and, you know, in some cases gets to the final eight, or, you know, even in you know, other cases, the final four, or like with Butler, you know, they made it to the championship game 2 years in a row. They didn't win either game, but they got there twice.
No, and so. Of course, Loyola last year getting to the top four. But that will not happen this year.
No, I didn't hear much about Loyola this year. I don't even know how they did. So I'm guessing not well.
They lost in the conference already. They're out of it. And they lost to Bradley in their conference, so they're not even going to be in the NCAA. And I assume they'll probably get an invitation to the NIT.
So, yeah, I'm clueless on, like, whose record is what. It was funny. I actually, while I was waiting for the podcast to start yesterday, I had the TV on in my bedroom, and I had the ESPN stream running, and they were doing their, you know, Sports Center. So I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to get some highlights. I'll get to see some of the college basketball stuff. I believe the entire show was on Zion Williamson because he returned. And by the time the podcast started, I don't remember them talking about anything else. So you kind of know what lane they're in when it comes to the tournament and what they're going to feature. So, you know, if Duke happens to get set and knocked out early, you know, they're going to be SOL because they've got all their eggs in one basket.
Yeah, and upsets happen. Of course, you figure that Duke is going to be in the top 10, top 8 teams eventually as usual. And I think Kentucky is a pretty strong team this year too. So it'll be same old.
Gonzaga is always good, you know, out west. I think they're the best team out there.
Right,
which is weird because they don't really get the, you know, they never really seem to get star players, you know, for recruits, but they always seem to have a good team.
Yeah, that is surprising, and they're always seem to have a strong team, academically also, which is impressive.
Yeah, which, you know, I would hate to, you know, I know that's one thing they don't do, but I would love to see like what the grades are for like the Duke freshmen that are all going to go pro, or, you know, any kid who is basically a one and done that we know. I would love to see what their grades are.
Or else what subjects they actually are having in their 1 year in college.
So, yeah, cause I mean, I'm always kind of interested to see how that works out. And I know they had, you know, the kid from North Carolina came out and basically explained, you know, how they do it and how they keep guys eligible. And it was completely illegal. And I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. It was a couple years ago.
Of course,
nothing ever became of it. You know, the NCAA investigated it. And they weren't even sanctioned.
Yeah, years ago the joke was that those kids majored in basket weaving, and maybe that's close to the truth.
You know, and you know, I get it's tough with the schedule they play to, you know, maybe go to a full schedule of classes. I could see that because you got to figure, you know, they're playing 2 to 3 games a week and they've got to practice, so I could see where that could be a stretch. But then, you know, stop telling us that's what you're expecting them to do. You know, just kind of tell the truth and say, well, you know, they've got a limited schedule because of this, you know, and if they do, you know, however they want to do it. I mean, just stop, you know, we all know it's a facade now. It, you know, it's kind of like pro wrestling, you know, don't tell us it's not scripted and then, you know, try to sell us a bill of goods. Just go ahead and tell us what's going on.
Don't some of the, schools contend that they, because of their heavy schedule and playing ball, basketball especially, that they supply them with tutors to help them along with their classes, what they miss when they're not available.
Allegedly. You know, and allegedly they take a lot of stuff. You know, they're supposed to be taking classes online, you know, so they could do that while they're, you know, on the road.
Yeah, as you point out, nobody pays too much attention to that. It's not really true. It's not really true amateur athletics anymore.
No, yeah, you know, winning covers all that up. As long as a program's doing well, nobody's really going to care if these guys are going to class or, you know, even if they are going to class, if they're failing, nobody would care at all, you know, especially at these schools that are based around, you know, the sports like that, because just the money they make is, you know, just for the school is unbelievable, and, you know, nobody's giving that up.
No, and, you know, of course, if you can go deep into the NCAA tournament, you make a lot of money for your school.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's a business, you know, call it what you want to call it, you know, but it's a nice little business they have going there, and it'll be interesting to see how it's affected when, you know, the NBA goes back to the rule where you don't have to go to 1 year of college, which I think they're doing here relatively soon. So we'll,
up,
you know, we'll have Yeah.
But even if that rule is rescinded, it's really good for the athlete to have 1 year in college to get his body into NBA shape. For the rigors of the NBA, it would probably be good for them to have that one season in college.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it hurts because, you know, of course, then again, some of these kids play so many games between high school and then, you know, AAU and whatever other leagues they're in, you know, they're basically playing an NBA-style schedule. So, you know, in some cases they're ready where, you know, they go to college and then they only play 30-something games and, you know, it's kind of lost on them. So I don't know. It's, you know, I from a maturity standpoint, I think it's probably better to have that year, but I don't know physically wise, you know, if it's going to make that big of a difference on them anymore.
Yeah, I'm wondering if some of those players who go after 1 year in college into the NBA run into a wall towards the end of the season because there's no matter how many games they play, they're still not used to an 82 game schedule with all that travel.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the thing that really gets them is the travel. You know, that's a lot of just fatigue, you know, not so much wear and tear, but just the fatigue, you know, can get to you. And, you know, it's tough to deal with. But, you know, I guess when you look in your, you know, your checking account and all those zeros come up, you're okay with it.
Yeah, somehow you forget about the fatigue of travel. And, of course, we're in the jet age, and we have been for some time now. And imagine how it was like in the 50s, for example, or in the 40s when there wasn't that kind of accessibility and how long those trips would take.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why I always laugh now when I hear, like, and especially the NBA players seem to cry about it more than anybody else with, you know, the travel. Oh, well, you know, we got to go from here to here. And, you know, a lot of times they're not even playing on back-to-back nights. And, you know, these guys are still complaining about the travel. You know, LeBron James cried so much about the All-Star break that they made it a week long just because of him. It's like, really?
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, come on.
They
do get their perks. And, of course, they do try to schedule when they go to the West Coast. They usually schedule 4 or 5 games in that general area of the country, not just one game in Los Angeles and back home again type thing. They Portland and,
yeah,
and maybe Arizona and other areas that are close in that the West Coast, on their West Coast swing. Of course, the teams always seem to have a problem in the West Coast swing, too, now that you think about it. They always call it the dreaded West Coast swing. When the Blackhawks in their heyday would have problems going out there. And even when the Bulls were winning championships, they didn't have an easy go of it when they went on the West Coast.
So, yeah, it's odd. I don't quite know why they, you know, because you figure once you're out there, you're going to kind of adjust to it. So,
yeah, it's not, as they say, it's not as if you're going to play just one game there and come back to the Eastern Zone or the Midwestern Zone. You're going to be out there for a few games, so you should become acclimated to it.
Yeah, you would think. I get it. There are some better teams out there, you know, than there used to be. I mean, you know, the Warriors are obviously the best team in basketball, and the Kings have improved. So, you know, the Lakers, even though they're not what they thought they were, they're still hanging right around 500, so they don't completely stink. I can understand that. You're playing a little tougher competition, so maybe the combination of the travel and the competition has something to do with it.
Yeah, it probably does. It probably does. And the Western Conference has been the stronger of the two conferences for quite a few years now.
Yeah, of course, it does look a little bit like the top is a little more even this year. You know, Golden State has had its issues. You know, you just wonder, depending on who they end up running into, you know, if they get to the finals, if maybe the East has a chance this year.
It would be nice to see Milwaukee get into the finals because they're having an awfully good year. You know, it'd be good for basketball to see a team like them get into the finals against the winner of the Western Conference.
Yeah, well, you know, it looks like they'll be one of the teams that have a chance there. I mean, they're going to be right there with Toronto, and you know, I think in the end, Philadelphia and Boston will be, you know, contending. I think Indiana will finally, you know, that I think that Oladipo injury finally catches up to him come playoff time. You know, I know they're hanging around tough now without him, but I don't think that's going to last.
Probably not. And it's funny about Toronto. They always seem to have a very good team. They don't seem to fare too well in the playoffs.
Well, you know, they made all the changes this year to try to fare better in the playoffs. So we'll have to see if it worked out. You know, they made the trade for Kawhi Leonard. They changed coaches. So we'll have to see if that
works out for them. Maybe the atmosphere, the oxygen is different in Canada than here, and that's why they seem to have trouble.
You know, yeah, you always kind of wonder because, yeah, they've been good for multiple years now there, and they've never been to the NBA Finals, and, always happens along the way where they go stumbling out, so...
Maybe this will be the year that they finally make it to the next level.
Yeah, you have to wonder. I mean, you'd have to think sooner or later, just by luck that they're going to, you know, with the teams they have, that they would stumble into one. But, so far they haven't managed to. And, you know, I know there was a big uproar last year when they canned their coach after he won, he won Coach of the Year. But, you know, you got him. That
was
the fact
shocker.
That what he
it was a
sixth
shocker.
Grade playoff.
What the? That's not unique though. That's happened before in the NBA when a coach with a winning record, a superior winning record, that gets canned. It's happened in Chicago and it's happened in other cities as well. I think you pointed out, by the way, that sometimes it happens when the superstar in the team doesn't like you.
Yeah. In a lot of cases, that's when it happens. I really don't know what Toronto's motivation was. You know, why they decided to make the move there, but it was Dwayne Casey was the guy they canned, and you know the Pistons jumped on him pretty quickly, and he has them contending for a playoff spot. So maybe it would be interesting if the Pistons and the Raptors ended up in a playoff series against each other.
It would be interesting, and although I do think that Toronto is a stronger team than the Pistons.
Yeah, you would think they are. You know, I think just for the sake of it, and interestingly enough, if things hold the way they are, that would actually be the first-round matchup in the East. Toronto would host Detroit, so maybe we'll get that.
It would be, 2-7?
Yeah. Of course, Detroit is only a half game away from moving into the sixth seed, so, you know, who knows if it will, if it'll stay that way.
Yeah, to me, it's embarrassing when the team makes it into the playoffs and they're 4 or 5 games below 500, which seems to happen in the Eastern Conference every year.
Well, this year there's only one, the Heat are the only team in the playoffs right now that are below 500. Everybody else is actually over. So it's slowly but surely, they're getting there.
Yeah, you'd like to see that happen on a more frequent basis. And we'll see if what happens at the end of the season. There's not that many games left now. What is there, about 14, 15 games left in the season?
Let's see. Well, Miami has played 67 games, so they have, 15 left? So, yeah, right around that number. But, remember, it was just a few years ago. I think there were three teams that got into the Eastern Conference playoffs that were under 500. I think one of them was the Bulls.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and just so you know, I see here the Bulls have been officially eliminated from the playoffs.
Well, I was hoping to see if I can get some good tickets, some good playoff tickets from the Bulls this year too.
They're the fourth team officially eliminated. So.
Well, New York has been eliminated, and what, Cleveland has been eliminated too.
Those are the three teams in the East, and then Phoenix is the only team in the West
right.
that has been officially eliminated. But Dallas is getting close. They've lost seven in a row, and they're not going to have much rope left there. So.
Just think, a few years ago, Phoenix and Dallas are both contending teams in the Western Conference. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, you know, and they're both kind of having to work their way back. So we'll see. But it is the doubleheader tonight is on NBA TV. So if you want to watch Milwaukee, they're in Miami. That's the 7 o'clock game. And then the Bulls are the late-night wrap-up on NBA TV as they're in Los Angeles to take on the Clippers. That is a 9:30 start. So those are your two TV games tonight. The good old Mickey Mouse Network is sticking with the college game, and they're going to let NBA TV have the pro game. And then tomorrow, the primetime game, though, on ABC, you get the Golden State Warriors at the Oklahoma City Thunder. So there you go.
That should be a good game. And when the Bulls are on the NBA network, as you pointed out, they're the second game tonight. Is that exclusive, or could they possibly also be on local TV as well?
No, if I remember right, with NBA TV, they're on both.
Okay.
And unless they've changed it, it's possible the NBA TV game could be blacked out for the local coverage. But for some reason, I remember them being on both.
They probably are. And did you notice, by the way, that Neil Funk is taking off, 20, 25 games this year?
Yes.
And is that because he's getting up there in age, or just wants to reduce his schedule?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a little of both. I missed her name. The last game I remember seeing with the Bulls, Stacey King was doing commentator with a woman when they were in, I think they were in Charlotte. And they had some really nice banter, so obviously they knew each other, but I didn't get her name. I couldn't remember what her name was.
It wasn't to Kelly Crow. Probably not.
No, I don't believe so. I don't think it was anybody who, you know, reports on the network. I think it was somebody else they brought in.
Yeah, it could have been Charlotte Flair, maybe, was the co-announcer.
But she did a really nice job. I know a lot of times the women get a bad rap. I see some of it on Twitter all the time where guys basically just rip them for being women and how they have no business, being in the sport. And it's like, well, if they know the game, they know the game. It doesn't matter who they are. And she did a nice job of calling the game.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear that then. Some of the sideline reporters, the women's sideline reporters in the NFL, do a pretty decent job as well.
I really enjoy Jessica Mendoza does the Sunday night games for baseball on the good old Mickey Mouse Network, and she does a nice job. She did such a good job that the Mets hired her as like a special assistant. So
yeah, that's right, and she's quite adequate. She does a good job.
So, I'm always kind of baffled when, guys kind of freak out and just start taking shots at them because they're women. And it's like, well, there's plenty of guys who call the game that probably have no business calling games, because their big thing is, well, you never played the game. What do you know? Well, do you really think a guy like Len Casper played the game?
He may have played in college. I don't know about that. I can't try to remember.
I don't know about that. He seems like the kind of guy who was lucky to make his high school team. So, there's a lot of guys like that when you go around. I mean, do you think Joe Buck was a baseball star?
Highly unlikely.
Yeah, but yet, they kill these women for not playing the game when they've probably played softball at the high level, high college level, or whatever they. But it's close. It's enough to evaluate, and they get killed for it, and it's like, wait, what's the difference?
Yeah, so. If you're ineligible, you're ineligible. The color commentators in baseball, are they by and large former big league players? They seem to have quite a few of them on a lot of the teams.
Yeah, I would actually hesitate to guess that probably all of them are former players.
Yeah, I was trying to think of anyone who isn't, and of course in Chicago there isn't any, but and probably the majority have former big league experience.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head who isn't, a former player. So
if they don't do a good job, then they have no excuse. You can't give them a few saying, well, they never played the game. So that's why they're not doing the proper job of announcing.
Yeah, that's always always an excuse for something there. However you wanna kind of look at it, but yeah, I just and I mean we've heard enough enough BS here locally with two guys forgetting when the what the actual score is or any of that stuff because they're talking about food, but.
Well, what I've talked to you about, those infuriating conversations that I've heard over the years, as for example, as we talked about what heavy metal song has been done the most covers by various bands.
And you knew the answer to that?
No, as you know, I'm not a heavy metal fan. And there was one time they were talking about what city has the best hot fudge sundae, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And it's annoying when this happens. And I've heard them do that sometimes in critical moments of the game, too. And that's really infuriating.
Yeah, it drives me nuts when they get sidetracked and it's like, they start talking about what's at the concession stand or, what's going on. And it's like, guys, they had a pitch here. Did you see that? They just threw a pitch. What happened?
Yeah. This is fairly recent. I say within the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years, but one of the Cubs management was saying that he appreciated Len doing the humorous parts of the game when the Cubs were on their rebuild. Well, they're not supposed to be on a rebuild anymore, so I think we should now concentrate on baseball.
Yeah, it would be nice. I can understand sometimes, you get those blowout games where, the Cubs just aren't having their best day and they're getting roughed up. You want to spin it a little and give them, talk about something else. Okay, I can deal with that. But, when it's 3-2 in – whatever inning and the team's got a runner on and, I want you to call the game. I don't care about how, what fish you caught over the break or what concert you went to or what instrument your partner's kid plays. I want you to tell me what's going on at the game.
Yeah. How about the positioning of the ball players in a crucial moment and
many
things like that. It really is infuriating. But I guess we're in the minority because most fans seem to like Len and JD.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm actually surprised JD got the job here, being that he's not a former Cub. Normally those jobs kind of go to guys who have at least played here a little bit. Even if it was just one season, but somehow he landed himself in here. Or, of course, with Theo hiring, it could be a former Red Sox as well because, he would have no problem giving one of them a job because so many of them have them already.
For sure. Well, by the way, talking about the Cubs, you'll be happy to know that the Cubs have now moved out ahead of the White Sox 8-5 in the seventh inning.
So, yeah, but are any starters left in the game?
Well, right now, I doubt it. I doubt it very much. I know that the Cubs just brought in Randy Rosario, who, by the way, I thought showed a lot of promise last year. And I don't know why, but he doesn't seem to be in the mix to become one of the bullpen pitchers, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, I really thought he kind of earned his way in last year, too, but he's not in any of their plans. You know, they got the veteran guy, Brian Dunsing, and they brought Brad Brock in, and, you know, Tyler Chatwood obviously has to go to the bullpen, so they kind of, you know, they make a lot more money than he does, and they ate up all the spots.
Yeah, yeah. And Dunsing had one good year, got a lucrative contract out of it, and has been terrible ever since.
Yeah, and luckily I think this is the last year of that lucrative contract, so they'll be able to at least part ways after the season. But so, yeah,
Did you see the other day, by the way, that Chatwood was back in form again with control issues?
No, I don't pay any attention to what anybody does in spring training.
Yeah, you can actually go into the paper and see the standings and who's in first place and second place and they used to call them the Grapefruit League. I don't know what they called it. In Florida, they used to call it the Grapefruit League, and I forgot what they called it. The teams that trained in Arizona, but they actually show the standings, the won and loss records, which are, as we all know by now, completely meaningless.
Yeah, I don't, because I'm trying to remember. I saw yesterday I was on MLB.com and I saw who was the leading hitter for spring, and I completely forgot who it was, but it was like it doesn't matter. You know, it's like great. So
what was he hitting? 500? 480?
Yeah, just, I think it was just about, yeah, it was something astronomical like that, and it was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, here we go. But, you know, and I believe, if I remember correctly, the guy who's actually leading spring in home runs won't even make the major league team. It's just kind of how it works out. You know, he's just gotten a ton of at-bats off the right pitching and managed to hit some home runs, and now he'll go to, you know, back to minor league camp and
back to AAA,
you know,
and
there.
And the Sox, I'm sure, have been disappointed in the performance of Jimenez during the spring. He's already been assigned to AAA, and he had such a great season in AAA last year and AA, and hasn't done very much in spring training for this year.
He was going to AAA no matter what he did.
No matter what.
So,
if he hit 400, he'd be there. He'd be there at least 2 weeks at AAA level. Now he's going to be there a little longer. Now he'll be there a little longer.
He could have homered in every spring at bat, and he was still going to AAA. It didn't matter. You know, just like Guerrero Jr. did, and, you know, just like Fernando Tatis Jr. did for the Padres. You know, until they change this rule, this is what's going to happen. Those guys are going to go down for a few weeks, and then we'll see them after that.
Right, and I'm sure this will be one of the things discussed when the new agreement is worked out, which is when? Another year or so?
Yeah, you'd like
next
to think.
Year, the year after. Yeah, that will be one of the things that will be discussed, I'm sure.
You know, I know Dan and I talked a little bit about it yesterday. It was Colin McHugh of the Astros came out and just ripped the White Sox for sending Jimenez down. And what these guys always seem to forget, and I don't know why, I guess maybe they don't want to go against their union, is this was agreed upon by their union. You know, so the teams aren't breaking any rules. This was agreed upon by everybody in question, but yet they seem to forget that when they start talking about it or writing about it or, in this case, tweeting about it. You know, it's like talk to your union first before you start shooting your mouth off.
Yeah, right. And I have heard quite a few players talking quite militantly about the forthcoming renegotiations. And Would you be surprised if there was a strike?
Yeah, well, you know, if they go out on strike, they're just bid because with the way things are now, people will just quickly forget about them.
They will. And
the
last time there was a – how many years ago was there a strike? I forgot how many years now, but they were lucky
remember.
That the people came back. And at first they weren't coming back, but then there was, of course, the juice ball era that Bobby Bonds and Sammy Sosa was going crazy and hitting home runs, and the fans started to come back because of that. So you wonder, I always wonder if baseball knew that the balls were juiced or there was a steroid issue, and they said, hey, that's okay. The fans are coming back. They're going back to get back to the stadiums. Let's not say a word, for at least for now.
Yeah, you know, and the problem that these, you know, players and even owners forget is nobody gives a crap if millionaires in the players' case have a problem with billionaires in the owners' case. Nobody cares. You know, you're going to argue over a few more dollars that would be life-changing to the people who have to pay to come watch you. These people don't want to hear you cry about money.
Very true. Very true.
So,
and so I think it would be in the best interest of all the major sports in the United States to avoid the possibility of strikes at all costs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in reality, there's no reason they can't sit down and work it out. It just depends if, you know, one side wants to drag his feet or who's crying about what. You know, I mean, sadly, I go through this every 5 years at work when our union contract comes up, and you know, there's always one side dragging their feet for something. You know, they want this or they want that or however it works. And, you know, in the end, we keep working under the old agreement while they hammer out the new one.
Yeah, you'd think that when there's a new agreement to be negotiated that there will be some kind of a compromise, a logical compromise on both sides, of both parties. And let's settle it, and we'll split it down the middle and continue and sign the agreement.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, especially in, you know, a situation like baseball where, or any sport really at this point in time, everybody's making money. You know, I mean, the owners are making money, the players are making money. What do you have to complain about? You know, I mean, guys are getting generational wealth, and yet we're listening to them piss and moan about, you know, for them, you know, well, this, you know, this guy got $100,000 more than I did. Okay, well, this guy makes a buck more an hour than I do. That's about what you're arguing about. So
yeah, exactly. And I just happened to think about something. Maybe you can explain this to me. Of the four major sports, the least paid player are in hockey. And if you ever take a look at the attendance marks, the Blackhawks are having a down season. The other game, the other night, they had a game and won, standing room only. I mean, they were 2,000 over the capacity. So why do they get paid less than, say, the NBA players? Is it because their TV deal is not as good?
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, when it comes to TV ratings, you know, hockey is easily the lowest of the four. You know, I think football is still king. You know, I know everybody tried to bury them two seasons ago, and, you know, they bounced back last year, and you didn't hear anybody crying about the ratings last year because everything was up from before.
That's right. That's so right. They're all
they didn't have
the ratings last year.
Right, you know, nobody had anything to cry, you know, oh, well, football's, you know, it's hit its peak, and look, all the ratings are down, and that's all you heard, you know, and again, you know, nobody was smart enough to account for the fact that there's ways to watch it that can't be traced ratings-wise, but it ruined their story, so why, you know, you don't want to get in the way of a good story, but, you know, so yeah,
no.
Football's king. I think basketball is probably number two, even though I don't watch it. They're not getting my ratings. You know, and then baseball is right there. But, you know, it's tough for baseball, you know, because as you know, in our society today where everybody expects everything immediately. You don't get that in baseball.
No, I would suspect baseball is probably number two ahead of basketball myself, but it's hard to gauge it because there's so many more games played in baseball than any other sport.
Yeah. I think that helps them, but yeah, it's difficult for them because, the game is slow moving, and sadly with the way the sabermetrics has affected the game, strikeouts are up so high that there just aren't a lot of balls put into play. And let's face it, if you're a new fan who doesn't understand the game, that's going to come off as incredibly boring to you. Because basically you're just sitting there watching guys strike out.
Yeah, well, I've seen some reports about the ultimate demise of baseball because of the slow-moving aspects of the game.
They've done a lot. Sabermetrics, as great as everything it is, has done a lot to kill the game. It's really kind of ruined baseball as a whole because it's kind of taken away the essence of what the game was, which was to, I guess the best way to look at it is it took it away from a team game and really turned it into an individual sport because all it wants to know is what your stats are. Oh, well, you sacrificed that guy over. Okay, great. Well, you didn't hit a home run, so that's a negative mark on you.
That's how much the game has unfortunately changed over the last decade or two.
Now it's like, it doesn't matter if you're one for your last eight with seven strikeouts because that hit was a home run. So that's all that matters.
Yeah.
No, you're hitting 125.
That made the whole difference.
You struck out with the bases loaded because you couldn't put the ball in play with one out. All right? That's a different difference maker there. The object of the game is still to score runs. It doesn't matter how you score them, if they're bloop hits or you get hit by a pitch with the bases loaded or a guy drops a ball and you get on it. None of it matters. You need to score runs and win games. And there's
exactly.
A lot more ways to do it besides hitting home runs, but that apparently doesn't add up sabermetrically.
No, and that's why I was so disappointed with the Cubs last year, despite the fact they won so many games during the regular season. The last half of the year, they just no situational hitting whatsoever, and look how many games they were shut out in so many games or scored one run in so many games, and all because of lack of ability to adjust and try to become a situational hitter. And I hope that changes this year, but I'm not that optimistic that it's going to happen.
No, that's just how the game is. I mean, it's not just the Cubs. You can go through any and every team, and they all have, it's all kicked in now. Everybody has the same approach. Nothing is different. Nobody's trying to advance a runner. If they do, it's by accident. The only guy in the lineup who's actually going to try to bunt a guy over is a pitcher, and we won't have that for much longer because as soon as that contract comes up, we'll have a universal DH. So, it's just what they perceive as being important in the game that really isn't, but numerically it says it is. And everybody just buys the line there. Oh, well, we need this, this, and this. Instead of that guy who could hit behind a runner or maybe put a ball in play with two strikes or get a bunt down when we need it. And a funny thing is I think if a team would go back to that, they would probably win a lot.
Right, and the fans and management now want a player who hits 230, but'll knock in 30 home runs as compared to a 295 hitter who will hit 10 home runs and is a smart situational hitter.
Yeah, a guy who strikes out less than he walks. So
that would be nice. That would be nice.
The minute they said strikeouts didn't matter, all that stuff went away. They took away everything that used to matter. Strikeouts don't matter. Batting average doesn't matter. I heard a guy say that RBIs aren't important anymore. When it comes to pitching, wins aren't important. It doesn't matter if your starter wins the game. So, you know, everybody's okay with these starters going three innings and, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, man, don't be afraid to develop a pitcher. That's what they're there for. That's your job. And I don't understand why baseball has all these coaches now when guys don't learn anything. Guys aren't coached anymore.
No, it doesn't seem like they're learning, and it'll be nice to see an effective coach actually do something to improve a hitter.
Or a pitcher.
Make them become situationally aware, or a pitcher too.
You know, I mean, I'll jump in, up and down as much as I could last year when, you know, Tyler Chatwood was a complete embarrassment. But yet the Cubs hired what was supposed to be the best pitching coach in baseball last year, and he couldn't help him.
No.
Well, what? Why was he there?
Yeah, you would think.
You know, was he? Was he
with
just
all
there
the ability, with his reputation, as being a great coach, why didn't he get the job done with Chatwood, for example?
You know, and I didn't expect him to turn him into a Cy Young winner or anything like that, but the fact that he made zero improvement the entire year is just a gigantic strike against this guy, and I understand why he packed it in. He was an embarrassment. You know, he was stealing money is all he was doing because he was Joe Madden's buddy. So,
yeah.
You know, they should have gotten rid of him, and they gave him the break and let him resign instead of being fired. Or I think they let him, I think he ended up retiring. So, you know, but yeah, that was stupid. You know, oh yeah, well, we've got this guy. He's the best in the game. Okay, well, your staff didn't improve. How's he the best in the game?
It would be nice to see if the new coaches will do something to warrant their salary for this season, but I have my doubts that it's going to happen.
No, yeah, you know, you just kind of, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, how these teams manage to do it, but, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just frustrating.
Yeah, as you pointed out, there's not a lot going on in sports, and I have to ask you one question. As an astute observer of the sports scene, do you think that Orlando is going to go undefeated this season in the AAF?
You know, they were, coming into the season, they were one of the better teams. I think them and Arizona were rated number one and number two. So, you know, what the heck? They might as well, right?
Yeah. Well, I think they're the only undefeated team right now, I believe. Aren't they 5-0 the last time I looked?
Yeah, I'd have to look it up. I don't know. I did watch some of the games last week, and I have to say the play has improved. You know, from week one to what it is now. Yeah, Orlando is 5-0. The Birmingham is 3-2. The other two teams in that division, Atlanta is 2-3, and Memphis is 1-4. And then in the West, you got San Antonio and San Diego at 3-2. Arizona, who was rated as one of the better teams, is 2-3, and Salt Lake is 1-4. The play was much better last week that I saw than the first week. I mean, the first week was just atrocious. But yesterday, they looked a lot more cohesive, and it looked much more like football than it did in the beginning of the year. So, at least they're getting better.
Yeah, you're wondering. I'm wondering now that they're five games into the season, what the ratings are. Of course, they're not on the major channels anymore, but it'd be interesting to see if they're outdrawing, for example, an NBA game of the week.
So, yeah, I haven't seen much on, you know, on really anything that they've done, so I'm not sure. You know, and like you said, I mean, they're on TNT and then the CBS Sports Network, so
yeah,
it's not like, you know, not like they're blowing people out of the water. And they do, and I think the NFL Network shows a game as well, so you know, we'll, you know, you can catch them there. But here, we got this week's matchups for you if you're interested. Saturday games have Memphis at Salt Lake, and then the night game is Arizona at Orlando, so that should be a good one. And then Sunday we get San Antonio at Atlanta, and the night game is Birmingham at San Diego. And they have the two night games are on the NFL Network, and the Sunday afternoon game is on the CBS Sports Network. The Saturday game, you can watch it online. It's on Bleacher Report Live if you're that interested in chasing down an Alliance game. So,
have you checked to see what kind of attendance they're generating over the few weeks of the league's existence?
No, I didn't. You know, I didn't. After the first week, I kind of let things go, and I didn't really keep up with it like I thought I was going to. So it was just kind of like,
You would think that I would have. I was suspected not drawing all that well.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really notice at the game. I should have, you know, if I would have paid attention, I'm sure I probably could have caught a crowd shot or something while things were going on, but I wasn't, you know, paying close enough attention to see what was going on there. So maybe this week if I catch it.
Yeah, there's been virtually no coverage in the sports section of the paper. I mean, they have the standings, but not even a blurb of a team winning and what a couple of touchdowns were scored. And so I guess maybe it'll be different if you actually have a team playing. You know, I'm sure there's more coverage in Orlando, for example, Salt Lake City, Arizona. Not much here.
Yeah. No, well, you know, you have to think, I mean, there's no, you know, no team here. I mean, what's for us to get excited about? You know, I mean, I'm sure where the teams are playing, they probably have somebody covering them because, you know, there's not a lot going on in those places right now sports-wise. So, you know, I'm sure they're getting a little coverage. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough because they didn't want to, you know, obviously for weather reasons, they didn't want to be in the East and they didn't want to be in the Midwest.
Right.
So you lose on a couple big media markets with no New York and no Chicago. So.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
Like, you know, would we have supported a team if they had one here?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how. I don't think the Rush did all that well when they were playing in one of the leagues a few years ago. But there was some coverage of their games. I know. I remember that being in the papers. At least they did cover their games, although I think their attendance is pretty low.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure if we had a Chicago team, somebody would cover it, you know, just because it is sports. I mean, you know, they used to cover the indoor team when it was here, you know, and I mean, that was kind of football.
Right,
so.
That's right. And the Sting used to get a lot of coverage when they played soccer. They played both indoor and outdoor soccer here, and some of the coverage is pretty extensive when they played here.
They wanted it. Remember, if you miss the podcast, you can go to tunein.com. You can do it anytime you want.